The Balut Kiki Project is a proud member of Bunk Collective.
It's another day, and you know what that means. It's another project here on the Balut Kiki Project. I am Mel, and I'm happy to tell you about this episode. This project might interest LGBTQ+ or queer couples, or even non-queer couples who might be thinking of raising a family but are unable to do so in the traditional way. Our guest is Adam Hooper, who founded Sperm Donation World, now a worldwide community that was launched to increase the rates of artificial insemination. So for couples or people who may be considering building a family the non-traditional way, you might want to stay tuned and give this project a listen. Just a disclaimer, though, we are not endorsing any specific method for how you build your families, but instead, we enjoin everybody listening to do your own research before you make decisions for yourself or for your family. What we aim to do on this podcast is to present to you what exists out there, possible alternatives, and to offer choices, especially to members of the LGBTQ+ community who may be considering taking this route to start or build a family. Siyempre, I'll be joined by my friend Jeff on this project. So, before we play our intro music, please make sure you have subscribed to or followed our podcasts. If you have the time, write us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, or you can also go to our website. It's linked in the description. We would love to hear from you.
This is the Balut Kiki Project.
What the f*** is Balut?
Banter for the boys and the girls and us freaks in the middle.
A kiki is in order.
The Balut Kiki Project.
Uniquely Pinoy.
Unapologetically queer.
Lock the door tight.
We are serving you unadulterated Balut Kiki in 5, 6, 7.
So welcome back to the Balut Kiki Project. Jeff and Mel here again. And our guest for this project is Adam Hooper, who is speaking to us from Perth, Australia. And Adam is the person behind Sperm Donation World and the communities around the world that have been born, pardon the pun, out of his initiative back in 2014, 2015. Is it, Adam?
Yeah, that's when it all began. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, and thank you for honoring our invitation and welcome to the Balut Kiki Project.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be on. We've got Sperm Donation Philippines out there as well, and there's a big demand for sperm donors to come over to the Philippines. They keep asking and hounding us to come over, and it's sort of, well, guys, we've got COVID at the moment and our countries aren't letting us fly there. So we'll wait. We'll get there. Let's see it out. This is taking forever, though.
The fact that Adam is your name and this is your advocacy, that's not lost on me. You're like, Adam, yeah. So Adam, tell us about Sperm Donation World, what it's all about and how you got to putting it up and what's your backstory.
Yeah, so pretty much I was married and had one little girl at that stage and another one was on the way, and I came across a lesbian couple that wanted to have a family, and they saying how difficult it is and the waits for donors and just all the hoops that you have to go through in order to start a family. And, you know, it got me thinking, I'm mentally headstrong, you know, giving a gift like that is to good people would be something that I'd be cool with. Obviously, everyone in my family lived to 90 years plus. Everyone got there comfortably, you know, in good health and spirit the whole way through. So for me, I thought, well, that's something I could do. You know, if people were dropping like flies in their 50s and 60s and all that sort of thing, it probably wouldn't have been something that, you know, I could potentially consider doing, because I thought, you know, it wouldn't be fair. So, you know, obviously I've been blessed with some good family hereditary genes that, you know, got us living to good lifespans, that I felt comfortable that, you know, I could sort of help out here to some good people. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll look into it. I was working away a lot at that time, so it was a lot of time alone, which gave me
how
some time.
How old were you, Adam, when this lesbian couple approached you?
Would have been 30. Yeah, 30.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and you were in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they didn't approach me. They were just telling me about it, which planted the seed in terms of me thinking about helping others in the future. So I didn't actually help them. But, yeah, so I was thinking about that and did some more research into it, started looking into clinics because actually, you know, everyone naturally thinks where you need to go, that's where you're going to donate and, and all that. And, but, you know, I thought, I don't know who these families I'm helping then, you know, like I don't know if they're good people. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to torment the children and the kid's going to come back to me at a later age and say, you know, they'll domestically abused. And you know, you don't want to hear that. So, and also for my own children, you know, do they want to be walking around in the street not knowing who someone might be a potential sibling and not know who they are, or would they wonder about who they are? And so I thought, well, I can't donate at a clinic. I thought this is not right. You know, it's a bit shallow to donate at a clinic. You know, it's sort of not doing the best interest for my own kids and let alone themselves. Because I started looking into donor conceived people and they have a lot of questions that can't get answered if you donate at a clinic. So I started looking on, I came across, you know, online, the idea of donating online. And but it was very unregulated back then. There was no one regulating it. It was very a dark community because obviously you get some people that got some wrong intentions or that's not their main priority to help people. So I got into that, started looking. It was very small at that stage, not many people on there because, you know, the reputation wasn't there, you know. And I helped a couple of couples and then obviously I saw some good men joining and then the good men were leaving and I was thinking, oh, you know, why are they leaving? So I private messaged them and they said, oh, look, it's, you know, I'd like to help, but I don't want to be associated with people doing it for the wrong reasons, you know, like, and I felt exactly the same, you know, because I didn't want, you know, I'm doing a good thing here. I don't want to have my reputation tarnished because of some people doing it wrong. So talking to a lot of people and they're saying, oh, well, Adam, you should make your own community and start it up. And at that stage, I just finished like building my own backyard and putting that all together and, you know, laying down blocks and yeah, setting up a al fresco area and all that sort of stuff. And that finished. And, that, and you know, I was all, well, what's my next project? And this sort of fell into place. And yeah, and then that's sort of become a full-time thing now, like setting it up and it's grown rapidly. Sperm Donation USA is 16,000 members plus. Sperm Donation Australia is 12,000 members.
UK. You know,
yeah, UK. This is a smaller community. We haven't really got anyone that's ambassading for that at the moment. I'm still looking for the right sort of people that want to help grow that. And me, obviously, I oversee it from afar because I can't control everything hands-on. So, yeah. And, yeah, Sperm Donation New Zealand as well, which was meant to come over in August and do a tour and promote that and go on several TV shows and potential documentary could have been filmed about it or a pilot episode, which could have allowed for other things. But yeah, right now with this COVID situation, it's sort of really hindered that from happening. So we have to reschedule all that. But, you know, it's really fascinating just starting this community that's really helping people and making lives better. You know, there's so many people that are so grateful to be able to start a family that they're worthy people that that wouldn't be able to have a family or they'd be waiting in the clinic still waiting for that to happen. And, you know, with technologies now, there's so many companies out there. You can, you know, you can do your genetic testing, your STD testing and all that sort of stuff outside of the clinic. You don't need to rely on a clinic to do all that for you. They, you know, they charge a markup on top of that as well. So, you know, it's actually cheaper to do things outside the clinic. And, yeah, for everyone's peace of mind, you know, I'd rather know who I'm helping. And a lot of people now, a lot of people now want to know who the person is that's helping.
You say that in Australia, there are more donor-conceived children born via your community than all of the Australian and New Zealand clinics combined. You've touched on a few things already that you want to be able to know who you're helping. So what are the main differences between the system that you have in place versus what they have in clinics as the rest of the world knows them?
Well, the clinics are different all around the world. So if you look at America and European sperm banks, they pay their guys to come in and donate their sperm, which is great because, in a way, it's great because you get a perfect specimen, a guy that's passed all his tests that looks like Brad Pitt, you know, like you get all these. But on the other hand, the flip side of things is the mental psychology for the children. They go out to reach out to this guy that's did that, got accepted, and he tells them to bugger off, or he doesn't tell his future family that he donated at a clinic and doesn't want nothing to do with them. And many of them tell those children that they were born because they wanted money to go out and party on the weekend. Mm. So yeah, everyone wants their donor to do it for the right reasons and, you know, for the altruistic values and did out of the kindness of the heart to help their family have them, you know, and then when they come face the reality of, no, I just did it for money, it's really saddening that they feel like they were a commodity. So you got that aspect for countries that pay. In Australia, we don't pay. New Zealand, you don't pay. It's all about being altruistic. So what we're seeing now is a divide in the type of personalities who are like myself, who comes on a podcast today, who's happy to speak, you know, Zoom face-to-face calls with you guys. And I hope that I can come across, you know, like as I'm quite social, and we got the extroverts and the introverts, and what we're finding now is the introverts are men who are still donating at clinics compared to the extroverts who are happy that want to meet, know the child's going to a good home. And the problem is with the clinic children from Australian clinics is these men, the reason why they're donating at the clinics is because a lot of them are getting to their 30s. They have never been able to have a successful relationship with a woman because they lack those social skills, you know, the ability to interact, that biologically they're thinking, well, I might not get ever a chance to pass on my genetics and have my own family. So by donating at a clinic, that way ensures that I'm able to pass on my genes. Because, I mean, as humans, you know, and animals and all, there is a biological urge embedded in a lot of us to reproduce.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of how we carry on and ensure the survival of our species. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these men are thinking, well, this is the only way I can help. So, and I've had a lot of men try and join my community and say, hey, Adam, like I'm meeting people today and I've met someone before. And when we went out there, it's really socially awkward. I didn't know what to say. There was a lot of awkward silences. Mm. There was no flow of communication. And ultimately they decided that I wasn't the donor that they wanted to pick. You know, they were getting rejected. And then they said, look, Adam, I really want to donate. So I put my hand up to apply for donating at a clinic. I'm like, you know, you do you. It's fine. Yeah. You know, if you're comfortable with that, that's your choice. Mm. If you feel that you can pass on and help through that way, yes, go for it. And they go away, and then I get a lot of inboxes per day from people asking questions or advice and all that sort of stuff. And then I hear back from maybe a year or a year and a half later, hey, Adam, I just got news from the clinic that I've got a successful pregnancy, or a couple years later, I just got told that there's been a birth from my help at the clinic. And I think, well, good on you. You know, that's great. That's fine. But it's funny because no one would pick this person for free on an online site, but on a piece of paper at a clinic, everyone sounds so much more better, you know, because you don't have to have that interaction or, you know, you don't.
Connection.
Connection. Yeah. And, you know, so it shows how the lack of the clinics is very, it's very shallow in terms of it's not really giving you much information. You know, you could say blonde hair,
blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, look, my cheekbones, my nose width, my smile, my dimples, you know, like there's so many more features that go into blue eyes and blonde hair, you know, ears, you know, there's so many features to a person. And a lot of people want to pick a person also that has similar features to them or their partner, and you don't really get that at a clinic. So this way is really sort of using technology now to allow people more options and to allow people to be comfortable with their choice of, you know, who they want to pick. And then also if a child has any questions, they can either meet up or they can ask you online, and you can, you know, like I get random questions all the time, hey, does your, because I'm left-handed, like, oh, my kid's writing a lot left-handed. Are you left-handed? Yes, I am. But so, you know, just like little peace of mind questions and novelty questions, and then some of them more serious questions. But, you know, all that is allowed, like, doesn't normally take me too long to reply to them. So normally within a couple of hours, I've got a reply to the answer. Whereas, you know, with the clinic, it just manifests over years and years and years, many questions, many, 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 many questions that, you know, it's just such an easier way this way. And I feel that a lot of people now are starting to see that, you know, we've been around for 7 years, coming into the seventh year. You know, there hasn't been any legal custody issues. There hasn't been any STDs. There hasn't been any assaults. There hasn't been, you know, it's been really, it's run really well, really smoothly. And everything's, you know, everyone's having a good experience from it. And they're telling their friends that they're having a good experience from it. And people are starting to think, well, this is actually the best way now. You know, you sit there and you see clinics and they go on the radios and they do their shows and they try and speak down on it, like going, and how would you feel telling your child that you met your donor off Facebook? Well, most of the people now are meeting their partners off dating apps.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how would your child feel that you met your partner off a dating app? Well, no, that's life. That's how we, you know, it's not the 1990s or 1980s anymore. This is technology and this is embracing it. But they're trying to, an organization that's built on profits, and they want to they want to put fear into people's minds and heads, to try and stop them, because they're thinking, well, this is a product we can't really compete with. It's free and, you know,
it's,
so they're threatened.
In your FB page, Adam, and if you're listening to this episode, you don't have to go far. We will link it on the description of this episode. Your Sperm Donation World Philippines page has 2,300 members. And we were talking, Mel and I were talking about this before you came on, but we put up this podcast, Adam, because primarily conversations like these, anything that has anything to do with sex or anything that's non-traditional, non-traditional relationship, mental health, all these conversations are kept hush-hush. And we know they take place. We know people talk about sex. We know people have sex. We know people have mental health issues. There's a stigma. There's a shame. There's a scarlet letter that's attributed to people who talk about things like these, anything that's non-traditional. And in one of your episodes, I believe her name was Shannon, but when she was 24, when she was going through this process, she talked about her experience where medical professionals, a pediatrician, I think in her story, approached her. And she was told that the nurses were talking behind her back and were saying that, how could you bring a baby into this world this way? Yeah. And all we want in this podcast, really, Adam, is to provide representation for different views, different situations, different orientations. And, you know, arm people with information so that people can educate themselves and let educated people decide, because knowledge is power, education is key. And in the end, life is about choices, you know? And what's funny, because prior to this episode, we also invited somebody from the BDSM community, and we were thinking that, oh, let's introduce BDSM to Filipinos because they're not getting into that. And we were surprised.
We were so wrong. Of us,
inform us, what are you talking about? We have 18,000 Filipino members on the website, 18,000. So my point is that this is an underground thing. And why should it be underground? Why do people have to hide and carry the shame and live with the stigma? Like, if I happen to be a parent and I wanted to go this route and my sperm's not viable, I don't want my child to be, you know, teased by his playmates about how he was conceived, because as a queer person, I know only too well what it feels to be marginalized and judged for something that you have absolutely no control over. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's my rant. I'm sorry. So tell us about Sperm Donation World Philippines. So it's a closed group. And when you click to join the group, Adam, what questions will they be asked and what will they find in their group, in the group?
So that group there is obviously I oversee, and it's primarily run by Obed. And Obed is a man that was born in the Philippines and moved to Singapore and lived there. Now he lives in Queensland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're looking for another admin in Philippines as well that's really passionate, that's happy to do media and be a spokesperson and go out and do media in the Philippines and get that experience of being a donor so he can share that story. It's funny because, you know, you run communities in different countries around the world and everyone's got, you know, their own little spin on things. Like their personalities, you know, the culture that comes into it. You know, it's funny, the Filipinos, you guys love your video chats and calls and, I have probably been video, when my phone rings for Facebook and it's a video call, probably 9 times out of 10, it's a Filipino lady trying to call and have a chat, and I'm in the middle of a business call or a meeting, and I'm like, what's going on? These calls coming through, but whereas Australians would like to rather have a chat or message history, all
email
done, email and all that sort of stuff, and it's funny, we get a lot of gay men as well that think sperm donor, they want the donors to donate to them, but no, guys, it's for babies, not to just give you sperm to do. we get some interesting stuff coming from the Philippines culture. But the biggest thing about the Philippines community is a lot of the women, they seem to not know much about sexual education compared to other countries. And
we don't have that in school. We don't get that in school. Yeah, as Jeff said, sex is one of those things that don't get talked about. So it's very easy for misinformation to spread because no one talks about it.
And that's the thing, because when you have a donor through these sites and you want to use a donor, or, if I came to the Philippines and I wanted to help a few people, a lot of Filipino ladies are saying, oh, just come and help me now. And it could be like 3 days after their period or a day after the period. And it's obviously not going to work because your body isn't fertile then, It's not a case of just having putting sperm
putting
inside of you. It's something that we really need to try and get some more awareness going in the Philippines about sexual education so people can understand. But it's funny, you got like Japanese or other Asian countries, big strong culture, they wouldn't want to use a Caucasian donor, whereas in the Philippines,
biracial babies.
Yes.
We're very welcoming.
Oh my God. It's about the culture. It's a lot. It will tell you a lot about the culture. The history of the Philippines can be summed up in one sentence. We were in 3 centuries in a Spanish convent, and we had 50 years of Hollywood. So Filipinos look up to, the white guy, We bleach our skin. So, and if you look at our actors and our actresses, they're usually like the Caucasian archetype.
Yeah.
They have or fair skin. Mixed race.
Probably Filipino mothers want their baby. I'm not judging, of course. I happen to be Filipino. Most of our listeners will say that this is true, that if you have a biracial baby or a baby that looks good because of, it has an aquiline nose or blondish hair or fair skin and is tall, that might be a way out of poverty. When you told me, Adam, that you were, when we were starting to email our communication early on, you get approached by women or called by women in the Philippines from the Philippines weekly. Are these ladies asking you to be a donor to them? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, they want to know if I'm coming over or when I'm coming over and if I could possibly help them. And, I must say, when you do look at these biracial babies with the Filipinos and Caucasians, they are pretty cute. I mean,
beautiful,
but I mean, look, I love diversity. I think it's great. The world's, we're all moving to different places in the world, and the world's starting to integrate and mingle, and genetics are diversifying and mixing. And we are from generations of people who met before us.
Yeah.
Jeff, you might want to be a donor yourself and have children that way, or you might, there's a lot of gay men as well that grow up learning that they're gay and then from that moment on say there's no pathway for me to have children or want children but we got a lot of gay men in our communities now that are showing people that you can have children this way, or you can be a co-parent, you can you can sort of play an uncle figure as well. So there's so many pathways now, but the way we've all come to this point in life, whereas our decisions will decide the future generations. I mean, if you have a child with someone, then that child's going to be born from that ancestry and that ancestry. And, it's just funny how all our past ancestors' interactions or who they picked and decided is based on how we're having this conversation today. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like if our great-great-grandfather didn't meet our great-great-grandmother, we wouldn't be here now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned briefly earlier that no one's had any custody issues or whatever. How do you ensure that that doesn't happen?
I don't think you can ensure anything.
Is that part of the conversation with the donor and the families wanting to have to receive the sperm?
Well, I say, you know, you can never ensure anything in life. You know, I like to ensure that I could win lotto.
You buy tickets.
Yeah, well, that would sort of help a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's having your wits about you, you know, listening to red flags. But, I mean, look, that's what I sort of say to people now is, we've done 7 years of this and no custody issues. Now, how many people in that time have been married in 7 years that have broken up in that period of 7 years and they're having custody battles in the family courts, fighting for their children or saying my ex doesn't give me my kids when I want them, or, you know, they're restricting me from having them. You know, that's like a flip of a coin. You know, when people get married, you know, you're not getting married with someone with the idea in mind that, we're going to break up. You know, people get married with the idea for the long haul, the idea in their head that they're going to be together. Now, 50% of these people are breaking up. So something changes. Yeah. People change, their mind change, or someone betrays them. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing a huge rise in divorces and kids now being brought up, you know, between living in two households and a lot of conflict. And these children are growing up seeing the mum and their partner fighting. And what does that teach them, you know, growing up seeing bitterness? You know, how's that going to help their relationships when they're older? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're now seeing the rise of single mothers by choice because people who are smart. We're seeing really smart, educated people doing this. It's not just people who are desperate to have babies. It's a very calculated choice. So sperm donation is – this way is much easier because, you know, you help people. You're not emotionally attached to the person that you've helped. You know, there's no love interest and, you know, so when there's no love interest, if they betray you, well, there's no room for betrayal because they're not really, you know, you're not in their life.
Yeah.
The focus is always just talking about the child and how they're going. And, you know, I've got photos yesterday from some lovely parents that have moved over to Queensland now that were, you know, originally from New Zealand. And they sent me, they got a family shoot of the boy and he's grown up to be a lovely, handsome little strapping lad. And they just like, hey, Adam, just want to update you and show you how he's going. And, you know, it's stuff like that. And it's great. And you have a little chat and then they go on living their lives. I go on living my lives. Mm-hmm. And I go away with a peace of mind knowing that that child is so loved and how appreciative they are of that gift. And it makes my heart warm because I know the kid's in good hands. Whereas if I donated at a clinic, I would not know that. So, you know, it's just for everyone's psychology, this is so much more better. And, you know, it's sort of why this community now and people are choosing this option as a number one choice. Well, I guess not number one choice, but they're, you know,
a viable alternative.
But, you know, if you're 35, look, there's love stories that happen, but it becomes more and more harder the older you get because you get, but the thing is in your mid-30s, you're holding out for love, but then how long do you have to be with someone before you say, let's have children with each other? Mm. I mean, you're putting your biological clock at risk further. You know, do you have to be with them for 2 years before you have a child or raise the question of having a child? Do they want children? Can you talk them into having children? Mm. Do you spend 2 years and then they say, no, they don't want children, and then you got to go, well, what do I do now? Break it up. I'm now 38, 39. Like, you know, it's sort of a lot of people now, they're getting to the age of 30, they're going, well, I didn't have luck in my prime years. I want to ensure that I get a child. I'm going to use a donor. And then if I meet someone after that, then great, you know, but that way I've got a definite child, someone that I'm going to love, a friend for life or a companion and all that. It's guaranteed. And then if I meet someone along the way, then and that's perfect for me. But then that way they don't feel rushed anymore. They don't have that pressure on their back that they have to try and find someone, that they got to make something happen. So it's very interesting now that this community, Sperm Donation World, offers people that flexibility now to make those choices and empower them to do that sort of decision making.
So suppose, Adam, that Mel and I are a couple, and we want to explore this particular possibility to be able to go into this and have assisted reproduction. How do we get the ball rolling? So we go into the Sperm Donation World Philippines Facebook. How do we start about looking for a donor?
Yeah, so you go in there. You'd ideally go on spermdonationworld.com.
Okay.
You'd read the blogs, even the podcasts, there's so much information on there now. The reason I made that website was because there's a lot of misinformation and people find out so much crap through Google and they take it as gospel, because they read it there. And it's frustrating because they come in there with these things. So these preconceived ideas that are wrong. So I try and put out blogs and information and vitamins and supplements and kits on there as well that make it easier just to increase your success rate. Mm-hmm. So you can read all that information. You can go through and read all the information. And then by the time you've read all the information, you're a lot more knowledgeable in the concept of becoming, having a baby. And then there's the podcast as well with all the stories, and you can find a story that sort of relates to you. There's podcasts about single mothers by choice, lesbians. You can talk to or you can hear the donors talk about them being donors. You can sort of work out why they're donors or what their motives are and their personalities are like as well.
So I even listened to, I think it was episode 3, you had the Dutch guy who was in the Philippines. It was very early on in your podcast. Very interesting episode.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, so he was in the Philippines now. He's left now. I think he got...
he has left. Okay.
Yeah, I think he got robbed quite a bit from some Filipino girls. And I think he copped a few hits and stuff as well, which is not surprising, though.
Yeah.
He's a very strong personality as well. So, yeah, he was an interesting character. And
very interesting.
But that's the Dutch for you, Dutch have got a strong personality. And that's their culture. So it was interesting seeing his perception of helping Filipino girls, and in that time I think he didn't say he wanted to ever go back to Holland. And it's you just got to embrace each culture for what it is. I love embracing different cultures and seeing why people are the way that they are.
So once we get into the Facebook page and Mel and I are looking for a donor, do we post that we are looking for a donor?
So you work out what you want, you do a post and, I'm not sure you'd work out if you're looking for a Caucasian donor or a Filipino donor and then you do your location and then you got to work out where you're going to do the donations. Are you going to pick a hotel? Are they happy to come to yours? Are you happy to go to theirs?
So usually there's people who will respond to our post. So these are potential donors. Is that what will happen?
Yeah. So you'll put a post up and people who will match with you. That think they're a match for you, they'll send a message out and you start talking. Then you'd either, probably in Philippines, you'd probably do a video call straight away. So
so it's up to us to be able to sort of like vet who fits into what we think would be a good match for us.
It's just like internet dating and people who you meet in real life. If you meet someone at work that you fall in love with and you decide to go on dates with, you're picking that person based on your interaction with that person. Mm-hmm.
It's good to be prepared with, what you're looking for and, have a set of questions ready.
Yeah, well, look, I think if you go in with an open mind, I think it's just... seeing if you're going to get some good answers, if you want the child to be able to contact them, you want to know, are you available? Like, are you happy for the child to, if you have questions for you or when the child turns 18 or when the child asks, because a lot of people say, when the child's 18, can they meet you? And that's just based on the clinics. Well, that's the clinics rules. So everyone just naturally thinks that's what it is. That's what it do. Right. Yeah. But the reality is, your kid's going to get to their teenage years and they're going to be probably going, I want to see him now.
Ask questions.
You know? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, well, we said 18. And they're like, well, we don't care. He's on the internet right now. I message him. I want to see him now. So people don't really understand the concept of this digital technology still. You know, they're still thinking about when they were a kid and, you know, they didn't have that instant message and that. And they're not realizing that a child is probably going to be demanding that. And a lot of children now in other countries, say in America, for instance, you know, these kids are smart, you know, and a lot of mums and parents will be out there listening to now with like 7-year-olds and 8-year-old kids that are, you know, you get all this, you got your iPads and all that stuff that you give your child.
Very savvy too.
So, you know, there was a mum or a recipient the other day that I was speaking to, and she was saying that, you know, her child, she's got a phone and it's fingerprinted open it up. So when she's asleep, the child go up and put the phone on there with a finger, and it would activate, and she gets in there and then changes.
I wonder where
the
child got that from.
Well, you know, we underestimate children and how smart they are.
It's up to you, Adam, to make arrangements with whoever you see. It will be a good match for you.
You want to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable. You want to say, is this person a person that I'll be proud of for my child to meet, you know? You know, is that person going to turn around and go, no, I'm not interested in ever knowing you.
Why?
Yeah, and be rude to them. You know, you don't want your child to have a psychological issue or put onto them because –
Traumatized
because this person now in their mind is not a good person. You know, they were born from a person that wasn't, you know. So you want to, as a parent, you want to ensure that they're doing it for the right reasons. You want to be comfortable with them. You want to be able to feel that you can communicate with them. You want to feel that you can get the questions and the answers, you know, answered from those questions when you approach them. You know, you want to feel confident that they're open about their medical history. You know, you want to know anything that can make your child, you know, their life experience better. You know, because I mean, a lot of times when people are looking for a donor, they are thinking, I just want to get a baby. I want the baby, 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 baby. You know, they've just got baby brain and they're not thinking about the child's issue. Yeah, the child's issues and that they may have in their future. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not thinking about
That's true.
And it's not until, you know, I've had women early in the community that said, I want a donor and I don't want to have any ongoing contacts. So they pick that donor and the child's born and then they've gone, oh, no, Adam, I did pick a donor and, like, that was his agreement and he doesn't. So I know that it's not his agreement, but I didn't think about it then. I just wanted the child. And now that I've actually got this baby in my hands, now I'm thinking about that because the baby's there. You've got the baby. You don't have to worry about getting the baby anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Priorities are different now.
Yeah. And you don't really think about it. So sometimes when you're looking for a donor, you've got to forecast 2 or 3 steps ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to look at going, all right, so I get the baby, what next? Okay, what's the baby going to ask? What could the baby do? You know, if you're lying, you know, you're lying about their conception. You know, these days, you're going to get caught out. I mean, we got the doctors who impregnated all the women in America but they had no idea that there was going to be DNA testing that was going to come out and expose them. And now there's probably doctors that would still love to do it, but they know they're going to get caught, so they can't do it. You know, we got to think of what the future is going to bring, you know, and, you know, you can't be thinking how you were raised in the 1980s or 1990s where, you know, even computer games now come a long way from,
absolutely. You know,
like Pong,
8-bit,
like
8-bit graphics.
Yeah. And we thought that was amazing
that
in
was
the
so
day,
cool.
You know? Yeah. And these days, it's like a real world that people are like running around in. And,
VR.
You know, VR, virtual reality. You're walking around in a world. And, you know, in 20 years' time, again, there'll probably be people that, the world is, you know, we're evolving and it's going to continue to evolve. And it's just about thinking what's best for our children and what their lives can probably, you know, what's going to be like. And the thing is, if you lie about their conception, you know, this generation now, say, you know, one person born today, 18 years' time, when they're an adult, you know, they're going to hate you for lying to them.
Not giving them the option.
And the previous generation got scapegoated from that because the doctors, the medical professionals, they told people that don't tell your child. Yeah. You know, but now they've been, you know, I mean, look, what medical profession tells people to lie? You know, I mean, are you a professional? But that was how it was run. You know, medical professionals are telling people to lie. Like that's how, you know, that's the business side of things. Like, and there's probably a lot of doctors there that were using their own sperm. They're like, don't tell them because what, like, I'm secretly using my sperm. Yeah.
And just in like parent-children relationships during that time in the 80s, 90s, parents and children didn't talk as openly as today, and pretty sure relationships between parents and children will be much better in the future where there's open communication.
In the Philippines, at least, Adam.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, no, but my point is the children that were born, because for me, it's plain and simple, you know. At the end of the day, if a doctor told me to jump off a cliff, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so basically, these people who are born donor conceived, you know, they're growing up and they're finding out, you know, they found out through a 23andMe test or, you know, finding out that they're connected, you know, they didn't get told by their parents. And then they're going to their parents and the parent goes, well, the doctor told us not to do it. And rather than hating their parents, it's more easier to hate the doctors or the professionals, you know. So they just go, all right. Well, we hate the doctors and the professionals for telling my parents to do that. Oh. Rather than going, well, hang on, mom and dad, like, why, even if they did tell you, didn't you think it'd be better for me? Mm-hmm. And they don't put it on it. So so that generation, the parents got scapegoated by the doctors. The blame got put onto the doctors and they, you know, a lot of them are being accepted by their, you know, they carry on their relationship with their parents. They got away with it. Now we know that the clinics say now not to do that, you know, to tell your children. So if you go against that grain now and lie to them, then you can't fall back. This next generation can't fall back and go, oh, the doctors told us to do that, because they were no longer telling you to do that now. So then you're faced with not being able to put the blame on anyone else. So, that's going to be a generational change of evolution in this donor conceived world. That's going to happen. And, you know, it's interesting seeing these trends and what the future lies ahead in all this.
So if people are going to go into the community, what would be your suggestion, like etiquette in the whole process? Like, what should they remember? Don't do this, don't do that. What's proper etiquette to be able to ensure that everything will be smooth sailing?
Well, look, I think, you know, there's some donors out there with hundreds of children, and people go, oh, well, these donors shouldn't have hundreds of children. And, you know, you could say, okay, well, this person helps a lot of people and he spent a lot of help of his time helping people. Is it bad that he's helping people? This person's honest about the amount of people he's helped, you know, and he doesn't get to help that many people unless people are comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, so if he says, I've got 150 children, like say Joe Donor, a woman then goes, well, am I happy to be the 151st? So 152nd. So he's not going to get to 200 children unless there's 50 other people that are cool with that. So everyone's got different values and morals. And, you know, so it's all about honesty. So if you, the number one thing is you want a donor that's honest. You know, I want recipients who are honest that I feel that are telling me the truth. Mm. You know, and I want recipients that I feel are going to give the child a good, loving home and nature. Mm. You know, a recipient wants a donor that's probably going to be available if the child asks, be helpful, answer any medical questions, and all that sort of stuff. And you're not looking for, you know, it's not a partner relationship, but it's sort of, you're a team in a way. You've come together creating a life together. So you want, you know, I've got recipients now that, we catch up and, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an uncle role model figure, but like my kids go out and play with their kids and, you know, and they love it, you know. And so I pick my kids up and they ask if they're going to see any of them this weekend or something like that, you know. So, and then vice versa, those kids are asking when they're going to see them next. So it adds an element to their life that's special that, you know, that we wouldn't normally get being born in a, a traditional relationship.
That's interesting.
I think if we, and the thing is, some people are hesitant against that because as humans, if we don't know something or we haven't been around that, it's something that we automatically go, oh, could this be uncomfortable, or I'm worried, or I don't know if I want to do this, and we're very hesitant to do that. But for the ones that have done it, it's added so much value to their life. It's added value to my children's life. It's added value to their child's life, and it gives them a network that also that they'll be proud of being donor conceived. That they've got those, it's just it's amazing just seeing how these children connect, that it's just like an alliance. They've got each other's back. There's like a bond. There's and these children are still between the age of 5 and the babies. And but from that early interactions that they have, there's a special underlying connection there that
they have lifelong friends.
Yeah, and what's wrong with long life friends or someone that's got your back? In our life, we've got a lot of friends that come and go throughout our stages of lives. You would have had friends that you hanged out with when you're 16 to 20 and that they're no longer in your life, or you had friends that were at that time and then they went missing for a long period of life and then they've come back. And this way here, there's a connection that lasts forever, and that's fascinating. It's such a lovely thing to be able to have people in your life that you can rely on or love. The more love you have in your life, the better. And so I think people get a bit, parents as well, they can get a bit intimidated about that, thinking like, oh, well, only I have the right to love the child. And, but is that selfish of us to not allow those connections? I don't know. But, are we trying to base raising children on how we were born through our own parents, I think, that's how I was raised, so that's how I want to do it, rather than going, let's just open this all up and give our child the most interesting, funnest life full of happiness, And I think if you break that down and look at all that, I mean, for me, I was in that boat to begin with. I was like, oh, I'm not going to meet any of the children until they get older. I don't know about my children meeting them. But then I heard stories about a lot of donors who had their own children. Those children are obviously the oldest ones. And by the time they found out or met them, they were no longer interested in being a part of that, or they told those children, like, no, don't want nothing to do with you. So for me to open it up now to my children, children are more accepting, compared to adults. True.
They're innocent,
They're innocent. So, if you throw a child into a situation, they'll make the best of it, they'll be normal. Yeah, so for me, I was worried that, my children might get to an age where they're totally against it and frown upon it and not be proud of what I did and all that. So, but now I threw them into it as a young age. They've had some great relationships and connections formed through it now that it'd be very hard for them to grow up and change their opinion of that. If they found out when they're adults, they'll be like, well, that's weird, Dad. This way they've grown up into that situation. So, look, for me, I thought that was what's best, and it's proven to be very good. Like, it's, and I didn't, I was hesitant as well. I didn't know what would happen but when you actually see it unfolding and the interactions and the meetings they have, it's just something that it's hard to explain, but it's incredible. I've never had donors come back to me and go, I've ever regretted being a donor. I've had a lot of men message me going, hey, Adam, I saw you on TV. I saw you in this article here. It got me interested. I joined. I watched for six months or 12 months before I felt comfortable being able to donate. I've donated it. I've helped a child be born. And I just want to thank you. It's been the most amazing experience of my life that I've given back to this world.
Yeah.
And, so to have impact not only on recipients' lives but donors' lives through this community, it's something I am proud of. If I wasn't proud of what I did or what my community was about, I wouldn't have it open.
You wouldn't be doing it for this long.
You say your goal is to change the world for the better by breaking down the stigma and creating acceptance towards what you're doing. Do you think you still have a long way to go, or do you see the goal is in sight?
Well, I think everyone's got their own goals and, their values. And, if religion's put on you, you're going to be, you know, I was on a podcast the other week where the dad, it was a bit weird. He was against it. You know, he considered being a donor at a stage, and then he's trying to say anonymous, and then he was trying to say, oh, it's about ego. And I'm just like, no, it's about the children and all that. Yeah. So, yeah. Look, I feel, you know, there's never been a donor that's come out and said, hey, everyone, this is great. You know, this is a great way to help people who are going to be great parents. There's never been a person that's come out and been a spokesperson for it on a public level, you know, giving word to a subject, because there is a taboo. You know, people go, oh, you're a wanker, or, you know.
Is that the biggest misconception about sperm donation world? Is that your biggest pet peeve about it, that people, these judgments?
I wouldn't say I'm peeved about it. It's just that, there's gay marriage as well, and people are saying only men and women should have the right to get married. And so Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and, and all these silly little sayings. Yeah. And, well, you're in this world, I'm in this world, I'm living my life to how I want to live it, you live your life how you want to live it, and you should be able to live that free from discrimination.
Yeah. Live and let live.
Yeah, and you should be able to have as many choices that you feel that are good for your pathway, you know, and to allow this choice now, you know, there's a lot of people out there are still resistant against it because they still haven't got an understanding of it, you know. But then once, you know, we've seen fathers where their daughters, you know, the daughters want to be a single mother by choice, and they've gone to their dad going, look, I'm going to use a donor. And they're like, no, you know, you need a partner and this and that. And then they go and do it anyway. The child gets born, and the dad becomes the biggest fan of it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was so against it. You know, he was the one, the biggest block in the road. And then he's telling his friends and family how proud he is, and that his daughter's done that, and now it's actually a good thing. So some people have to learn the hard way to see that something is good. You know, and that's what it's about. The more people now doing this, the more people that are looking at the history going, well, there's 7 years of this happening, no one else has had a bad experience. Yeah. What's the chances of a bad experience happening to me if I go in with my wits about me, I follow the protocols, I read the information.
It's all there.
And if you do that, you're not going to be the chance of you being the unlucky person, the first person in 7 years of that. That's why I say go out and buy a lotto ticket if you're going to think that way, because you've probably got a better chance of winning lotto. And, you know, so breaking down the stigma that people are, obviously I do this for free, altruistic reasons and all that sort of stuff, and the clinics do it for money. So when they're talking about scaring you, you got to go, okay, are you saying this with our real interest in heart, or are you doing it because you want to get money in the door?
Profit.
You know, like, why are you speaking here today? Well, I'm speaking to you guys today free on my time. If I'm from a clinic, I'm doing this podcast because I want to get I want to get your business, and I want to get more people in, and I've got KPIs. Mm-hmm. And if I reach this many KPIs, I get a big bonus at the end of the financial years, or Christmas bonus and all that sort of stuff. So all these people, they're very well articulated speakers. They want to, they say the same thing, and every year that keeps going on and on and on. We never have an issue. We never have a legal issue, but they're still saying, and the chances of having a legal issue are really high. And it's like, well, another year's just gone past, mate, and we have not had another legal issue. Yeah. We have not had any STDs. And, they're very contradictory in what they're saying. And a lot of it's lies based on, even for HIV, you know, it was based in the 80s. Rather than shutting down all the clinics, they're like, well, we'll freeze sperm for 6 months and then we'll retest them. And if they haven't got it then that sperm's good in six months' time.
Yeah.
But now we know U equals U, you know, undetectable equals untransmittable. So if they do a test that day and that sperm count comes back negative, then that sperm right there is clean. Yeah. We don't need to wait 6 months anymore because we've evolved as in medical science, where all the World Health Organizations and all that are backing this, and people are saying U equals U, and they're saying it on a public level now that if it didn't do that, they'd get sued. Yeah. And so, but these clinics are still trying to play that card going, well, we test the guys for sperm and then we quarantine it for 6 months and then we test them again. It's like, well, You're telling us information from the 1980s and 1990s when we didn't know this, and you're still trying to regurgitate it to us now. You know what I mean? That's a key example of how they are lying to their customers and trying to spark fear into their...
And
control. Fear is the ultimate way of controlling people. Yeah. If you did something wrong... you go to hell. Mm. So that kept a lot of people in check. So this is the way the clinics are trying to control people. And I think if you want to be controlled by a clinic, go right ahead. But they're lying to you.
Your funeral.
Yeah.
And we can confirm that we didn't have a hard time convincing Adam to come on to the show. And we can confirm that he's doing this for free and out of the goodness of his own heart. Please invite our Filipino listeners to your very informative podcast. I heard about Joe in your first episode, learned a lot about from your other episodes as well about the experiences of people who've gone this route and how people can best get in touch with you because you're very hands-on on this. So please invite our Filipino listeners.
Yeah, I'd love to get more Filipinos on board in the community. It's a country that really wants to endorse this and embrace this and is open-minded towards this. You know, there's a lot of education still to be happened, but, you know, we want to put it out there and get the conversations going and, get it. You know, we want to help people and we want you to come with an open mind. And if this is the way you want to start your family, if you want to be a donor in the Philippines, then by all means, come and join. We want you here with the right intentions. Look, follow me on Instagram at spermdonationworld.com. You can go to www.spermdonationworld.com, and then in the community section there's a list down menus of all the communities and which one applies to you. You know, Sperm Donation Philippines. Mm-hmm. Click that, send a request. You'll get screened through. You'll get brought in. Let us know, you know, if you want to really get into this and help out and become an ambassador and go on TV in the Philippines, that, you know, by all means, we really want someone to stand up and you know, it's a great feeling to do that. And, it takes balls to do that, obviously, speaking on a public level, because, you know, you're going to get judged. You're going to have people that are against you, and it doesn't matter how pure your intentions are. You're always going to have haters, you know, and the more popular
the more haters you get.
And you can actually be doing it with the kindness of your heart with no ill intentions, and some will try in their mind, they'll make it up in their mind that you're a bad person. And I think it's absolutely, at first it used to get to me because I'm trying to convince people like, no, I'm not a bad person. And now I just work out that some people are really wired in a way that something's happened to them in their life where they've been either manipulated or tricked or that they think that that way. And it's sad. And so for me, it's like if I put an honest community out there with good intentions, then it's designed for good people as well. So, you know, you come in, have your children this way. Yeah, so everyone from Sperm Donation Philippines, or if you're from Philippines, join our community, look into it. If you want to have babies this way, it's great. We can't come over to the Philippines at the moment with the COVID-19 until we get the situation under control. But, you know, it's hopefully within a year or two now that we can sort of get some normalization happening again. So, look, I love coming on and speaking to different countries and demographics. And, obviously when you messaged me about coming on this show, you know, I was like, oh, okay, Philippines, I've got a community in there. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any media in the Philippines. Obviously I was probably going to wait till I went to the Philippines and obviously then, you know, let the community know and the media there know that I was coming over to promote it and all that sort of stuff. So when an opportunity comes from different countries and with a different demographic, you know, I like to come out there and explain what we do here and what it's about. So, you know, it's all about giving people options. You know, there'll be options, people today, there'll be people today that think this is absolutely great, a great episode. And there'll be people thinking that this is absolutely insane. And
if it's not for you, then it's not for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe for somebody else. Good for that person.
Yeah. But that's the thing as well. We get women that it's not for them. They've already got their children but they've got a best friend that hasn't had children that wants children. And we get a lot of people recommend their friends to do it. So, it's looking out for each other. If you come across a piece of information that might be helpful for someone else, then you know, let them go, hey, listen to this or check out this website. And, you know, it's all about helping each other out. And, you know, and that's what it's about. My community is about trying to bring more love into this world, you know, more acceptance, more accepting diversity, you know.
That's what we need.
You know, I want, well, the more same-sex couples that we can help have children out there, you know, the more people that can, because not everyone can afford IVF either.
True.
You know, so the more people we can allow these families to integrate and intermingle and be at birthday parties with your kids' birthday parties and that, the more the world's becoming more and more accepting. And if we can make the world more and more accepting of each other and accept diversity, accept differences, you know, that's a good thing. That's
absolutely
a step in the right direction.
You know, that's sort of one of my motivations for doing this. You know, it's not about me having as many children as possible. It's all about, you know, changing the world and getting more donors, getting more recipients coming in and wanting to use donors that, you know, that allows them to create a family, whereas they wouldn't be able to have a creative family. I want to inspire more gay men to be together and have children and speak out on that men can have children together or be a part of a co-parenting situation where they share. Mm. You know, so there's so much you can do, and allowing people to have that option and go, you know what, I can do that if I want to. That's sort of what's really drives me. So that's why I've been in this community so long, and that's why I continue to do it. And I think it is nice seeing the step in the right directions. You know, in the 7 years, you're seeing more people come more open. You're seeing the progression. You're seeing it. So it's not like nothing's happening. It's not like, oh, we're still the same as it was in day one, you know. So we're actually seeing the world change now. And for me, to have an impact on the world in this little way, in a unique way, it blows my mind.
And what's coming across is that talking to you, you seem to be, and I know that you're very passionate about what you do. So we are very confident that you will continue to be doing a lot of work in the Philippines. And so we'd like to thank you for coming on to the program. This has truly been really educational and enlightening.
It's eye-opening.
And so if there's anything, Adam, that we can help you with in your future ventures in the Philippines, the Balut Kiki Project is always open. Please reach out to us. You're always welcome here. Let us know. Yeah. And more power to you and Sperm Donation World. So it's spermdonationworld.com, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Listen to some podcasts. Follow them on the Instagram. Join the community. You don't have to look for a donor today. You can sit in the community and watch for a while. And
there's a lot to learn.
There's a lot to learn. But... it's there. All the info's there if you want it. So, it's great.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Been lovely talking to you.
You have just been served. This has been the Balut Kiki Project, uniquely Pinoy, unapologetically queer. We are now declaring this project complete. Are we off air yet? Because these hills are killing me.
Thank you for clicking play. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast streaming platform. And leave us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed the show.